Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Listen and subscribe to the show wherever you do that. Make sure you rate and review it so I have a reason to fucking do this thing. This is episode 436. There's no guest. It's just me. I'm sitting in my apartment on my couch recording this. I have YouTube on mute. And what's going on YouTube now? What's playing? It's some Last of Us stuff. It's another 15 insane details in The Last of Us Part 2. This is probably this is maybe the best game I ever played in my life. I thought Part 1 was that, and this eclipsed it. With all of its faults, something can still be a masterpiece and have flaws in it, things you could, you know, pick apart. But overall, man, it's one of the best games I ever played in my life. I'm on my second playthrough, and I've never done that. The only time I've done that was really with Part 1, and that was a couple years after I beat it. So I maybe played through Part 1 about two or three times, something like that. I'm not super hardcore like some of my other friends. Not like the homie Tajay, but he's like almost an anomaly because he's like a hardcore gamer. I'm what you call casual. It's funny because it's like I want to get more of these collectibles, and I see a lot of my friends on the PlayStation Network, and I look at the stuff that they got. And you can look at your friend's status and like how far into the game they are. I was looking at this one, like Tajay's like platinum the game already. I think he may have played it like 3 or 4 times. And this other guy who's not like a public person or anything, but I know him because he works at a comedy club, and we talk about video games and stuff. And he's like a bartender or whatever. And he was like, every time I see him get a game, it's just like, this dude is just insane. He beats it in minutes, really. It almost seems like minutes. As soon as I remember, like, when I would go to the club, he's like, yeah, I already beat that. And I was like, damn, man, come on, young. Are you actually enjoying these? Or are you just getting right through them? But so I looked at his status on The Last of Us Part 2. He's at 82%, which means he's about to platinum the game, and I'm at like 38. But it's still fun, though. It's for a casual gamer. It's like really fun for me, even though it's not. You do have to, like, I feel like you have to be in a mood to play this game. You can't just sit down and mindlessly play like playing 2K or something. It's like you really have to be invested and really put time into it. Especially to try to like get trophies and stuff like that. So I've been playing that. I had like 2 sittings on my second playthrough already, and I know what Naughty Dog, like I said it, and when Tajay was on, I know what Naughty Dog's trying to do with making you empathize with a certain character, but Ellie is my favorite video game character of all time. It used to be Lara Croft. She's my favorite character, but Ellie in this story, just like what she has to go through, and because it's a little more grounded in reality than the Tomb Raider series, it just kind of put it over the top. Like you like feeling like these raw emotions, these visceral emotions, all this crazy stuff. And what she has to go through, her age. Actually, Lara is about, in the reboot, Lara is about the same age as Ellie. They're pretty close. But yeah, I'm a big fan of this. So I don't know if I'll ever platinum this game, but I definitely, it just really, this second playthrough has made me really enjoy Ellie even more than I did the first time around. And a lot of those sequences. I don't know. Comedian Mike Brown just tweeted me about an hour ago about Sony like Naughty Dog hiring some folks. I guess they're beefing up to start their new game. Excuse me. I don't know if it's like, if it's new IP or if it's part three. I'm hoping it's new IP, like a new game, a new story with a black character. At least one black lead that just doesn't fucking die. That's what I'm hoping for. So, I mean, my interest would always be piqued in whatever Naughty Dog decides to do, though. Like, I mean, their track record at this point is pretty damn good. Like, I've enjoyed all those games. Like, I enjoyed, you know, the most recent, like, all the Uncharted games were fun. So those have been fun. And the Last of Us games, you know, I don't know that much about Crash and Jack and is it Jack? Do they do Jack and Dax? Ratchet and Clank. I mean, those look fun, but I'm a like adventure guy, third person type thing. But so we'll see. Ghost of Tsushima is coming out on Friday. I pre-ordered that. I hope it's good. I didn't wait until the reviews came out. It's a game that interests me. If it's halfway decent, if it's anywhere like Horizon Zero Dawn, which it kind of looks like as far as being an open world game and you build up your status or you build up your XP, it can't be too bad. And it looks good. I haven't played a samurai game before. I haven't played with a character like that since, like, I don't know, Ninja Gaiden. Or I know that I've heard that Sekiro was really hard. I don't know, but this one looks fun. It's a Sony exclusive, and I'm a casual gamer, and it looks fun. So I'm gonna give that a shot and play it some this weekend after work. I went back to work this week, back in the office. I've been working from home for like mid March, I want to say, and I went back to the office for 2 days last week, and I go back 3 this week, and we alternate for, I'm not sure how long that's gonna last, but it was kind of weird just being back. But once I was like really apprehensive about that at first, but then once I got there, it was okay. Everybody was wearing a mask, and we were social distancing and all that stuff, so it's good to have two monitors. I only have one monitor on my laptop. So at my work desk, workstation, I have two monitors, which makes things a lot easier. That was cool. That was, you know, it's good to be earning a living and stuff. So I'm thankful for that. Although, you know, I'd rather be entertaining you. I'd rather be on a stage or acting or, you know, doing jokes. But, you know, this is the state of the world right now. And, trying to function in this hole, you know what I'm saying, young? So that was interesting. What else did I do last week? I got my car inspected. I was really nervous about that because you never know how these things can go. New Jersey, they don't play. When I first moved here, I had to go. So when you get your car inspected, you know, they pass you through, they test it and all that stuff, and then they bring your car out of like this kind of assembly line type thing, and if you pass, you get a new sticker, say, oh, you re-register, get this inspected, you don't have to come back until 2022. And so one time when I first moved here, this was like 13 years ago at this point, I got a red sticker, and it was like, you need to get this checked. So I was like, all right. I took it to be checked, and they said, your gas cap is bad. And I took it to like I took it to a tire place or an auto shop, and they were like, nothing's wrong with this. So then I took it back to another station, another like inspection location, and they passed me. It was just so dramatic, man. So I was worried about that. So I did that Monday, and after I logged off of work, and so that was Monday afternoon. I was in line for like 2 hours. There were cars wrapped around the inspection site. Jersey has, like, at least in my county, we have a couple of them. And there's like two that are within like a 10-mile radius of each other. So I went to one that was like the smaller location, and it took a couple hours. But I just stayed in the car and talked on the phone for a bit, talked to my parents, talked to a friend. And then in the middle of that, it was like a hailstorm. It was like apocalyptic hailstorm that was just insane. And so I braved that. I was just worried that my windshields were going to crack. But it didn't. So I was glad of that. And then I finally get up there and I passed inspection. So then I'm driving. I'm trying to figure out whether I'm going to go to the grocery store. It's like, yeah, you ever have one of those days where you know you have to go to the store, you know you have to get food, you got to do something, you have to make a decision, and you just can't make it. I just didn't know what I was going to do. And I had hours to sit in my fucking car and figure something out what I was going to do. And I was like, well, I'll just ride. And then so Route 17, which is like one of the main highways in North Jersey. It's like a main highway, and Route 17 was flooded, and you had to like ease through that shit for a little stretch, like a 2 minute stretch, less than that probably. And I'm driving through that, and I get out of that, and I'm turning off to go to the grocery store. I figure out where I'm gonna go, and then my low tire pressure thing comes on. I was like, oh, okay, that's probably because I drove through that shit. I'm not gonna worry about it till tomorrow morning. And so I go do my thing, and then the next day comes, Tuesday comes, and I take it to the gas station and try to put air in the tires. Light still won't go off, and I was like, all right, let me take it to the tire place where I got my tires and see if they could fix it. And every time you go to get your tire, every time you go for one thing, you go to the auto shop, the tire place for one thing, and then you find out your car has like terminal disease. And so he read me the everything, and I was like, oh my God. Thank God I had money saved. But I was just like, so I had to get new tires. I had to get new rear tires. I got two new tires. I got an alignment. And then I have to get like some power steering stuff, my power steering fixed. They're going to call me back with an estimate on that. And it's just like, thank God I saved some money during this pandemic. So that was good. That was a good thing where, you know, you want to save your money for other stuff. Like I was, you know, wanting to get some other stuff, but you got to spend it on the car. It was just one of those things. I was like, oh my God, I knew it was too good to be true when I got through that inspection. But what they did, I think now, one guy was telling me at the inspection place, one guy was getting his car looked at too. He was like, you know, they used to test everything. You used to put it on stuff. And I was like, well, I'm glad they're not doing it now. They just test for emissions and stuff like that. So it wasn't too bad. Then they were kind of just passing everybody through. So I knew that was a little too good to be true. And the car gods were going to get me on something. So I'm in the process of getting all that stuff done. When I went to get the new tires on Thursday, they were like, oh, can you come back to get the alignment? And I was like, what? I mean, why can't you just do it? So I had to go back Friday and sit and wait for them to do that. And yeah, so that was exciting, I guess. I dumped a lot of money into my car. I still have more to dump into it. That was that. I gave myself a haircut. I did that. That was exciting. This week, isn't my life so exciting, you guys? Why do you listen? I don't know. A couple hundred of you listen, so fuck it. I bought some clippers from from Amazon, and some Andes. What is it? Andes Speedmaster. What is it called? Speedmaster. Yeah. And it turned out pretty good. I just got tired of my hair being so long. I was kind of hairy, and I just said I need to do something. So I used the guard, and it came out pretty good. Nobody at work has looked at me and said, "Chris, what the fuck happened to your hair?" But what I knew something, you know, if it was just too long and not shaped up, not like just clean looking, somebody's like, "Oh, because it's corporate America." Somebody would have made some comment that I would have just been like, that I would have had to bite my tongue, you know, I'd have had to like to not say something. And then Chris was being really mean and he was he said something and I didn't think he's a team player. So I just shaved, got my hair cut, put a one, evened it all around, and it looked pretty good. It looks pretty good. It'll grow back. You know, it wasn't bad. But I kind of impressed myself a little bit. But one thing is, you know, when you get these clippers and you open up the manual, they'll say these are only for professionals and you're a piece of shit if you're not a professional and you're using, you should not be using these if you're not a professional. But you know, it turned out pretty good. I had a set of clippers. I have the edgers. I think my dad bought me a T edger so you can like shape your, do your little, like a little outline, but I was scared that I don't want to, I do it every now and then I like shape my beard up a little bit. But I don't do anything really hardcore. I just outline it and then, you know, bring it down. So I might have to like take my beard down a little bit. I may do that. And I had some, I think some master clippers that a cousin of mine gave me, but they were really old, and so it was just like not that great. But they would only really work if I was just trying to like shave my head, you know. And I used to do that a lot in my 20s, but you know, overall I liked how they look, you know. I respect this virus, man, and I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get that shit. If I don't have to be out, I will not be out. I spent way too much money on DoorDash today. I got some Wingstop. I can do better. I've done better. I just need some wings that I put in the freezer, and when I get ready to have some, I just need to thaw them out and whatnot, because that shit is too much for the quality. It's like, it's just okay. You know what I mean? Like it's not bad, but it's just like, I'm better than this. I can do better. So I just didn't feel like going anywhere. I did get a burrito from DoorDash on Friday, and it was a place that I didn't know was that close to me. There's one burrito place that it's like a New Jersey chain. It's like a small chain of burrito places. And then there's one that's a little larger in New Jersey. So I had that on front. So there's Tito's Burritos and Wings in Ridgewood, New Jersey, which are really good. And this place and they were closed. So I couldn't go there, get anything from them on Friday. I didn't know what that was. That was another time. You just like not know what you want to eat. And it was so dumb of me too, because I got my car, got my tires on Friday after work, then went to the grocery store to pick up a couple things, and then didn't get anything for dinner. And then it got time for dinner and I was like, oh, I'm kind of hungry. I don't really have any food. So, yeah, I ended up getting a burrito from this place called Bubba's. You guys ever heard of that? I don't know if it's a national chain or not, but it was pretty good. It wasn't bad. And they give you some chips, and I had enough for two snacks. You know, I ate some with my burrito, and then I had some, you know, today, you know, so that was good. But yeah, I've spent. But I haven't used DoorDash that much. I use it like I looked at my text when you know how they text you when your fucking food's coming, fatty, you know? And I've only used it a few times, but it's pretty good. I try to help people. I tip well. I do the highest tip rate when I do it. So yeah, I end up spending more money than I need to be spending. So I think I'm just going to give the wings a break for a while, but I think I do need to buy some and just kind of plan ahead when I want to take them out of the freezer, you know, cause it's too much. Cause Hooters is closed and they weren't doing takeout. Cause I would have picked up from them, you know, I would have picked up some wings from them, but they're closed. So, you know, I didn't. And so I just, I'll do Wingstop. I'm just running out of shit that I want, like, to eat. You know, sometimes, like, now I'm just going to do, like, smoothies and, you know, I don't know. I made tuna salad for the first time last week. That was pretty good. Wow, this podcast is getting really boring. I'm only 20 minutes in. Oh, my God. This will be short. I talked about haircut, getting my car looked at, cutting my hair. Oh, if you want more of me, I don't know why you would at this point, but if you want more of me, I did a really cool show with Reese Waters. Reese Waters has this show that I've been on a few times called The Barbershop, and he has his rotating guest, but it's the base is Reese, Randolph Terrence, you know, Three Guys On, and Leon Scott, who they're Reese's writing team on Get Up DC. So I've been on there a few times. This time, though, yesterday, we had the legendary Donnie Simpson on, and it was fucking cool. It was so cool. So that's out. That's on YouTube. It's on Twitter. I put it on my, like, Twitter timeline. Got to shoot the shit with him a little bit. We were talking about music, and I was talking about, like, 90s R&B guys, and you know, I mentioned like Jason Weaver as one of my favorites, and he was. And then somebody was like, oh, you didn't pick R. Kelly, but you can't write back. I don't know, whatever the setup on that thing is, I think it's StreamYard. I couldn't write back to the people on Facebook, but yeah, R. Kelly was obviously great. So, you're not going to pick R. Kelly, you're not going to talk about R. Kelly. I'm working on a bit about that. If we ever get to do real stand-up again, I'll have that locked and loaded. But for now, obviously R. Kelly was fucking amazing. You know, I just did not like his faults. Yeah, so obviously R. Kelly. And there's so many other dudes, but we were just talking about that. But it was fun. It was really cool to get to, you know, be on a show with like somebody I grew up watching and admiring his work, you know. So that was cool. Drunk Black History is out. I retweeted that. That's also on YouTube, so you can watch that. I was on there. Closed out that show. It was a lot of fun to be on. That's probably one of the coolest comedy related things that I did since this quarantine pandemic, all that jazz. That's probably one of the coolest shows I've ever done so far. You know, that was really cool because it wasn't necessarily stand up. It was kind of like panel, you know. So that was great. What else? Oh, a lot of the Will Jada Red Table. That was a hard watch for me because Will Smith was one of my heroes. Obviously, you know, I've said my Aubrey and Maddie Lambert are my heroes, my parents, and they are. But like as far as like a celebrity, you know, like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence also. But Will Smith, man, you know, watching The Fresh Prince, and that was hard to watch that, to see him go through that. I think he's more because they've been talking about their relationship. For so long. They've been married 20 plus years, 25 maybe. I don't know. I remember around the time he got married was around the time Enemy of the State came out. At least they were dating or they might have been married. Probably Enemy of the State's probably my favorite Will Smith movie. What's your favorite Will Smith movie? Tweet at me. I liked it. And I even liked Will Smith in that movie that everybody hated, that that Brandon Collins and Justin Brown made fun of me for liking. They made fun of me for going to see it. It was all those ghosts. I thought the movie was okay, but I thought his acting was fucking fantastic in that movie. What's the name of this flick? Let me see. Let's see. What's the name of this movie? Gemini Man, Student of the Year, Landon Bright. Collateral Beauty, 2016. I liked that movie. I liked his performance. I thought it was a fantastic performance. White guys get to do that shit all the time, and they get Oscars for it. Anyway, and they get all this critical acclaim. I watched, before this happened, before this went down, you know, I had recently watched After Earth. That was, and I liked it better than I did the first time I saw it, and I liked it the first time I saw it. I bought that from eBay, and I bought... I watched it last weekend. Focus, with him and Margot Robbie. I loved it. I loved that movie. It was so good. It was so fun. And they say he might have hooked up with her. I don't know. Nobody really knows, you know? But it was just kind of weird. And I watched it while I was getting my car fixed. And I was like, oh, it's only 12 minutes. I can watch this. But I was wondering, you could tell, the look on his face. He was like, I don't know if he was embarrassed or what, because I know he's sad, because he said, oh, I'm going to get you back. But that does that mean he's already? And she's like, no, you're not already. Do they have an open relationship? I don't know. But it's for their brand, I guess, man, it works for the show. It works for them. But it still felt fucking weird, because I had never seen the show. I'd only seen clips of people doing memes and all that shit. They've already got a fucking song out of it. You know, it's just, oh my God, Entanglement. And I made an Entanglement joke, but it was about a burrito, that burrito that I got from DoorDash, Bubba Coo's Burritos. I don't know. It's weird. I don't think we need to know. I just just make good movies, dude. I like you making movies. I don't really want to know all that shit. I don't know, man. It's fucking weird. And then he mentioned Black Twitter. Black Twitter had to know. Did we? And quite a few people have made this statement. You shouldn't be obsessed with celebrities and their relationships, because it's probably weird, or they're not perfect. Just because they're rich and famous doesn't mean that their relationships are good. You see all these people getting divorced and these people trading, switching partners and all this stuff. And, you know, it's almost like it's a life that you couldn't really fathom. You know, they're so wealthy. It's insane. And yeah, you should just try to have a good relationship with your partner, whoever he, she, or they is, you know, and just try to figure that shit out. You can't look to these celebrities to fucking do it for you. And that's just Will and Jada thing is case in point. I like them both. I hope they get over it or do whatever they need to do. And when time comes, you know, they can go back to work and we won't have to worry about all this shit. Because before the lockdown, Will Smith was playing Venus and Serena's daddy. And what's Venus? What is his name? That's bad. I should know. Venus. Oh, my God. See, usually when you click on the thing, they'll say who they're. Richard Williams, yeah. He's playing Richard Williams, and people were like, oh, he's too light-skinned. He looked like, because that's why he had that bit, all that facial hair at that point, when maybe a few months back. And he looked good, too. And they showed some set footage of it, and he looked good. So he looked like he was, you know, on his shit, man. So I'm hoping for the best. You know, I always support that dude, man. And I always like Jada too. Who didn't have a crush on her, you know, when you were like a preteen when she was on A Different World. She's still beautiful. She's still hot. And I get shit. I get that August Oslina guy getting and you falling in love with her. You can't blame that guy. You know? Will I ever listen to his music? I don't know. I couldn't pick any of his songs out of a lineup if you asked me. If he did, I'm sure he's talented. And if his music came up and I Shazammed it, I'd be like, oh, talented guy, that's a good song. You know, what else is going on? I'll talk about this other thing. So one of my friends texted me. He texted me a link to this comedian's, it was a Jessica Kirsten doing a black character, like this over the top black character named Shaniqua. And, I looked at that shit and I was like, it's not good. It's not funny to me. And it's just not good. And I just left it at that. Like, you know, people apparently, that's why sometimes it's good to just fucking get away from the internet sometimes, just to have some type of a respite or some type of a thing, a hobby, whatever the fuck it is, that just takes you away from Twitter. Because it's like they're trying to cancel her for that character. I don't know how long she's been doing it. I just think that shit's not funny. Is Jessica Kirsten funny? Yes, she is. I've worked with her before. I've opened for her I opened for her once, and I know her special was funny. She's very funny. But just that thing that she did, the Shaniqua character, is not funny. I guess somebody got really mad at it, but you can't try to cancel or end somebody's career because you didn't like a joke. You could just say, like, oh, I don't fuck with that, and that's not for me, and... yeah, I'm not gonna listen to her or watch her if I don't like what she does. You know, it's not for me. And that character, to me, is not very good. And it's not that's not my thing. And so people are like, we're defending her and all this shit. And there's a black woman comic that got upset about it. And you could get upset about it, but. You know, just I just choose. It's so much other stuff that you could pay attention to and not. It's like this whole cancel shit. I don't know. I don't know that you can actually cancel. The only person that's really canceled is Chrisette Michelle. And she took a gig that she probably shouldn't have took. And she hasn't worked since. But everybody else that's gotten canceled. First of all, you have to have something for people to take away. And a lot of times in this day and age, when you have in the world where there's podcasts and there's Patreon and a lot of DIY stuff going on, you vote with your money. You could say, oh, I don't like that person. I'll unsubscribe, or I'll take my money away, or I'll go somewhere else to get another service that I think is better. People have unsubscribed from my Patreon, and I wish them adieu. But, you know, it's, yeah, you kind of have to have something for people to take away. And right now, I think some of this shit is just going overboard because a lot of people don't have anything to do. And people are upset. What do you call it? They're going stir crazy. Looking for something to do, and they want to take out a lot of their anger on other people. And I think that's part of it too. And that's part of the backlash. But if something you think is not funny, that's just not funny. And I'm moving on from that, you know. But is Jessica a funny comic? Of course she is. Very funny. I don't know the other person's comedy. The young black lady that I guess was trying to get her canceled. I don't know. I just don't care. Like I miss doing stand up just like everybody else, a lot of my colleagues, but I just don't see myself doing it until it's safe. And I'm not at the point in my career where I could go out and people would see me anyway because I'm not selling tickets. Are there a couple hundred of you in the world and that would probably come see me? Yeah, probably you would. Not now, but, you know, if I'm hope the short term goal, hopefully within the next 2 years, two to four years, I'll say, because of the way people are fucking around or fucking off and not wearing masks and not doing what they could be doing. I would like to put out another album. I'd like to put out a full length project, 45 to an hour, and get some, cause there's jokes that I still want to tell, and we'll be happy to tell them, you know? And it's just, I see people doing this shit on porches and on the flatbeds of trucks outside, and it just doesn't seem, it don't seem right to me. But just because it don't seem right to me don't mean it's not right for somebody else. But it just, I don't know. It's just not for me, and I don't judge anybody for doing it, but I do kind of, I question some people that have the money and resources to just sit on their ass and chill for a little bit until things blow over. I question that. I'm like, why are you doing this? Why, like D.L. Hughley, guy that gave me a cool opportunity at Caroline's. You've heard, you know the story. He bought me sea bass, opened for him for a little bit for a weekend. Doing guest spots. It's like, I worry about, like, it's like, dude, you almost died. What the fuck? You don't need to do, you got other streams of income. Brian Callen and Brendan Schaub making a lot of money, I'm assuming, on their podcast. Like, why are you going out? You don't need to do this, man. You know? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just a guy. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a guy sitting on his couch spewing stuff, spewing words into a podcast with The Last of Us video clips on YouTube in the background. What do I know? I'm just a guy. Was there other stuff? Why did this go? I think I might have clicked on something else for this to go. Oh, yeah. So we talked about that. We talked a little bit about cancel culture. Who gives a shit? You can't really cancel anybody. If you don't like something, don't watch it. Don't support it. I'll do some music. And I'll give you a movie review for a new movie, and I'll talk about a couple other movies that I've rewatched. How about that? How about I do that, and we just call it an episode? Friend of the podcast, JB out of Oklahoma City, put out an album a couple weeks ago called "The World Is Fragile and Cruel. I'm Glad I Got You." I listened to this while I was playing 2K. JB is a kind of like an indie rapper. He's an Emmy Award winning rapper. And this is probably one of the best rap albums I've heard this year. It's up there. It's up there with Freddie Gibbs. It's one of the best projects I've heard this year. Now, I haven't listened to a lot. I got to get into some more stuff, but it's up there. It's really fucking good. He's got his rhymes. It's very like, this album's like very of the time. It's very timely. He's got great production. Who's on this? Project features production from Grammy Award winning producers Symbolic One, 88 Keys, Static Selector. It's got guest appearances from Wale, Slug, and Little B. It's really good. I recommend it. Check it out on Spotify, Tidal, wherever you listen to music. It's really good. I don't know. Can we still use Tidal? Because Jay-Z apparently laid some people off and then did some shit. I don't know. Can you? People aren't eating Goya. They're not going to be eating Goya beans anymore. Have I ever had Goya products? I had their beef patties are pretty good, surprisingly. But I think they call it something else. I had a couple once. I've had the beans before. I think some people be like, man, fuck Goya. And they do that, like that Russell Westbrook meme where he's on the bench and he's eating a cookie. he's like hiding it and shit. I think that's what people are going to be doing. Because the CEO of Goya went to the Rose Garden at the White House and it's like, oh, you guys, what did he say? What did this dude? I don't even give a fuck. But he praised Trump and people are going ape shit and then white people are mad. And then some people are saying white people are mad and saying they're going to buy Goya products and stuff like that and seasoning. So it's like their racism is so deep that now they're going to start seasoning their food. Oh, man. It's just so much going on. And the whole like Deshaun Jackson and Steven Jackson. That's just so. Like, you can't do that shit, man. That's Louis Farrakhan stuff, man. I was gonna watch it, and I saw a clip of it. I saw, like, a 40-second clip. And it's like some of it's good. It's, like, empowering for black people and stuff. And then it just gets to the shit where it's like, ooh, I don't know. I can't back all this stuff. If that's shit that you say in a barbershop, you shouldn't be tweeting that. If you're a public figure, you can't be tweeting that shit. You know, you're an athlete. You can't be. You might say like that you went and stuff. It's just, yeah, they're going to run. And you black, you can't do that shit, man. Now, like Deshaun Jackson, he had to talk to a Holocaust survivor and he should learn. People should learn about this shit, man. You should learn about other cultures so you're just not a fucking idiot. You just end up, you can't even get in the ballpark of like being Hitler adjacent. It's like some book that I don't even know, man. You know it's fucking stupid. You can't do that shit. Deshaun Jackson's gonna, once things open up, he's gonna be doing bar mitzvahs and trying to get back in everybody's good graces because it's not the same. And then it's just a whole ball of wax. You know, he's going to have to repent and you know that it's not going to be the same as what Riley Cooper went through. Riley Cooper was a marginal wide receiver. He's not as good as Deshaun Jackson. So he fucked up and he was out of the league after that shit. You know, he played a little bit. He came back, but he's not as good as Deshaun Jackson. So, and you got to think, even though Deshaun Jackson went to Berkeley, I don't know that if he went to class. Berkeley's a good school, and I'm not sure that he went to all those classes. But shit, he could have went to some of them. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's that barbershop shit where you just like I started watching it, and I was just like, oh damn, am I gonna watch this? I was like, I'm good. I know, and apparently Mitch Albom wrote a piece about it and saying like, oh, people don't care about Jewish. It's like, we care about Jewish people. Come on, Mitch. You know we do. And people have been saying that he wasn't, I don't even want to get into all this shit, but when black shit come up, maybe he was critical against Colin Kaepernick. I don't know. That's what the Twitter streets was saying. And it's just not the same. And some people have like really good insight on it because they are really into it and they follow stuff. So I'm not going to get all into it. But you can't say shit about Jewish people, whether you think you're right or whatever. And you can't. And you just shouldn't anyway. Like when I was in high school, I went to a black Catholic high school in the Maryland, D.C. area. And I felt like that was a well-rounded education because we learned about Islam. We learned about Judaism. We learned about all of this stuff. We went the biggest trip that we had my sophomore year field trip. Possibly the only field trip was to the Holocaust Museum. You know, like I even in junior high at another school, we read the Diary of Anne Frank. I mean, what the fuck? What are we doing here? Did we learn about black history at that school? No, we didn't. I didn't really have a good, I don't know. I had a good foundation So in elementary school, where I knew about like black leaders and stuff like that, but I didn't really, I've said this so many times on the show, but I really didn't get engrossed into my blackness on an educational level until senior year of high school, which was, we read that, we used From Slavery to Freedom by John Hope Franklin. That was our textbook, and we went through that, and it was great. And then it just enhanced what I already knew. And then all the stuff coming after, like, I guess, like, you know, stuff that you learn from reading and all that jazz, man. But you got to learn about other cultures other than your own to make you a more well-rounded person, man. And if you're black, if you're a minority, you have to know that shit in order to survive. You don't have to know everything, but you have to know something to be able to function. And like, these guys are so rich, it's just like they're in this bubble, and then you hear this one thing, like, these guys don't have any friends to say, like, yo, dog, come on, you shouldn't, probably shouldn't post that shit. Probably just want to just be like white people and keep that shit to yourself. Hide your racism. I don't know, man. Fucking up your money like that too. Steven Jackson, like, oh, he's done it. Like, and I like him. Like, he's doing all this great shit, you know, for his essentially his brother. And now you come up on this. It's just not good, man. It's not good. And you can't double down on stuff like that. It's just plain ignorance. And you have to teach yourself. I don't know. I mean, shit. But again, what do I know? So I really like this guy, JB's album. I may have to try to get him back on the podcast to see if he'll come back on. Because he reached out to me and let me know the album was out. And I was like, yeah, what? And then I listened to it. I was like, Jesus, this is the best I ever heard him. You know, it's a lot of people doing great work, man. It's a lot of people doing great work out here. So I want to give you I'll give you a movie review. So I'll give you a movie review, and then I'll talk about, no, what I'll do, I'm going to do that, but I'll talk about like some movies and stuff. So last week I had a wild hair up my ass and I wanted to see The Revenant again. I guess it was like another revenge story. I was just in the midst of like playing The Last of Us, finishing that up, still processing it. And The Revenant, some reason, came up. And I remember that I had only seen it once. I'd only seen it in the theater and I loved it. I thought it was great, but I didn't really get my full appreciation until I saw it again. I was going to try to pick it up somewhere, but I just ordered it. I just bought it digitally from Google Play. And so I watched that and it was really good. Like, Leo got that Oscar. Like, I thought that Wolf of Wall Street was, I had like a Leo weekend, but when Revenant was 2015, Wolf of Wall Street was 2013. And so I watched The Revenant, and just like that cinematography, that bear scene was fucking brutal, dude. That CGI, I mean, that was insane. And the cinematography, like the battle sequences, like the opening sequence was fantastic. Good movie. I mean, he won the Oscar for that one, you know. It's almost like they had to give that shit to him. Because they didn't give him one for Wolf of Wall Street. He didn't get one for Django. He could have at least got a Best Supporting for Django. But Leo, I mean, he's the GOAT. And I guess he just never really, obviously he's worked all the time, but like, he just never really got his full due until 2015. I guess because he's so good looking, he's like a good looking dude. So then they finally gave him one. I don't care about the girls. The girls that he dates, from what to my knowledge, is they're legal. They're legal enough for him for him to do what he's doing with those women. you know, I don't care about that shit. But some of the jokes that women on Twitter make about him are fucking funny. But I don't think he's I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I just know those movies are good. So I watched. I had Wolf of Wall Street already on Blu-ray, and I rewatched that. It's fucking great. It's a great movie. So I rewatched that, and I told you already that I watched Focus, Will Smith and Margot Robbie. And then I watched No Country for Old Men. Like, it was like I had that. I hadn't watched it in a couple of years. Another classic. And I was reading something where the creators of the last, like Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley, who was with Naughty Dog for The Last of Us Part One, how they wanted to make a version of No Country for Old Men, Coen Brothers movie based on a novel by Cormac McCarthy. And Wikipedia calls it a neo-Western. And that's kind of how I look at, because No Country for Old Men took place in 1980. Obviously, I look at The Last of Us Part Two as like that too, like a neo-Western, because Joel is nothing but a cowboy. Ellie is trying to be like him in a lot of ways. It's some cowboy shit. You know, and if you finish the game, I'm just going to allude to like that. The one of the scenes that you see between Joel and Ellie is basically some cowboy shit. And, you know, it's, I don't know, man, it's fucking great. And I love those movies. I was talking to a friend. The game is so good. Like, I was talking to another friend. Shout out to my man, Brian McGinnis. We were talking. He has the Playable Characters podcast that I think that's going away pretty soon, that I was a guest on, and your friends like J.O. Covan and Rod and Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips were on there. So really funny. So check that out. He called me and told me he finished it, and we just talked for like 40 minutes about that game. And so basically it's not just me. There's millions of other people that really dig this franchise now. You can call it that. I know a lot of people have problems with the second half of the game, or I guess the middle part of the game, and I had my issues too, but despite that, man, it's fucking incredible. It's so good. So I really got into that, man, and I was looking at Josh Brolin. And even when Fonte was on like 5 years ago, when the first time that he was on, which was 5 years ago, we talked about, you know, No Country for Old Men. We talked about, you know, like Josh Brolin would be a good Joel if they decided to put him in the HBO show. It would be dope. It would be a good look. So yeah, that was really good. Yeah, so I recommend that. And Brian, I don't think Brian's a big movie guy, but he hadn't seen No Country for Old Men. That's a 2007 film that won about 4 Oscars. I know Javier Bardem won for his role. If you haven't seen No Country for Old Men, I mean, what the fuck are you doing? But I would assume that most people that listen to this show probably have seen it. If you've not, it's really good. If you trust my recommendations, this is great. And it's not one of those Oscar movies that's like, oh, I won the Oscar. Why the fuck did this win? Like, you say, you get it after the fact. You check it out and you're like, this won the Oscar? And what? You know? No Country for Old Men, I highly recommend. Obviously, Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant, you know. I'm not a big period piece guy, but that movie was just really... It was just really intense and really good, you know. But let me give you a newer movie to check out. So this morning I watched this movie called Palm Springs, which stars Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti, who I love. She was in Black Mirror. She's in Wolf of Wall Street. She's in tons of other stuff too. She's like one of those like actors that just work all the time. Very lovely, very pretty, very talented. Jersey Girl, actually. This movie is, okay, so stuck in a time loop, two wedding guests develop a budding romance while living the same day over and over again. Kind of like a Groundhog Day type thing. Nice one major swerve that I was not expecting, that I was like, oh shit, one of these characters is a piece of shit. And I get that they fall in love and stuff and find meaning in life and all this shit, but this character is a piece of shit and they kind of let this character off the hook. And that's all I'll say about that. And I'll just say like, huh, I was like, oh, okay. All right. And it's, wow. I was just like, okay, that was a nice little swerve. So I don't want to spoil that with anybody. I'm not going to spoil it now. If I have someone on that has seen it, we may spoil it and talk about it, but it is a very good movie. I love the chemistry between Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti. J.K. Simmons is also in it. He's really funny. He's good. He's good in everything usually. And yeah, it's a really fun and just solid ass good movie. One of the better movies I've seen this year, actually. But that swerve got me. I was like, oh, are you? I was like, wow, really? Okay. All right. You know, so I did like Palm Springs, and it was apparently it's on Hulu, and apparently it was at Sundance, and I guess it got picked up from there. But Sundance earlier this year, and really fucking good. I'm trying to think what else I'm excited. I mean, I want to get King of Staten Island when it comes out on Blu-ray, because I know there's going to be tons of shit on there, like bonus features. I want to actually get The High Note. That's definitely a movie that I would like in my collection. I'm trying to think of some other stuff that I've seen this year. Some stuff is just kind of hit or miss. When you deal with this video on demand, these like rentals and stuff, they just kind of become it. It's really hit. A lot of times it's hit or miss. You know what? Actually, I think that's it. I think that's it, you guys. I think I've blabbed enough for a sitting. I think you've listened long enough for what I have to say this week. And I thank you so much for listening. Subscribe to Patreon. There's good stuff over there. It's been that way for 3+ years. You have 3 years of material over there. That's good stuff. There's stand up. There's movie reviews. There's guests. Tim Miller is on. Did a pod with him. That's up. That went up this month. Some very cool stuff. Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, folks.